Vegas lights shine bright, bad boys sitting pretty. Michael, Steve, Rob running things in Sin City. Podcast blazing truth, rhyming hard and witty. Three kings on the mic, Vegas life gets gritty. Matt Michaels dropping bombs, quick wit, no filter. Sin City's own, blending gold with the silver. Steve taking notes, every word's a thriller. Rob's on the tracks, beats cold like a chiller. Bad boys a podcast, raw truth they broadcast. Speaking facts so fast, haters coming dead last. Las Vegas legends, three amigos, top class. Mic in hand, setting fire, never outclassed.
Everybody, Matt Michaels, Rob Osler here on the Vegas Bad Boys of Podcast, and Sin City Steve is out at the the brainwashing center. Apparently he watched SummerSlam and liked it a little bit too much, so he had to go to the camp where they recondition you into only loving AEW. Or as folks call it, Ohio. So,
yummy.
There you go. All right. SummerSlam was this past weekend. 2 days, night one. Lots of stuff going on. Rob, you did request Vaughn Evelyn to sing the national anthem or God Bless America, correct?
Who the fuck is that?
That is a fifth generation McMahon.
Ah.
Yep, that is. Can you not see it now? If you put Hunter and Stephanie together, that's what you look like. Look Jesus at that Christ nose and that face.
It is. It's like if somebody made like an AI female version of Triple H, you get that.
Right.
Oh my God.
Exactly. So
I'm glad I missed the first 10 minutes.
There you go. We had Liv and Neo, man. That was a way to open up the show. The right retaining.
And mostly, hey, Bionic Scoop, mostly she did the majority of that on her own. There was very limited interference from the Judgment Day on that one. They had like one spot.
Exactly.
And then they didn't even show up afterwards. They slinked out of there. I thought they were going to get thrown out by the ref. They get taken out by an over the moonsault and they just crawl out of there.
Yeah, which was a great thing, and set up tonight for Raw, where Liv has no one else to challenge her, and then Becky comes out, and then Stephanie comes out. So all of a sudden,
come around, and then Stephanie Vaquer kicked the shit out of the other two.
Yeah, and out of Liv, and Becky just kind of sat on the corner, which was. Talk about
that was the surprise was Stephanie Vaquer. Becky Lynch wasn't much of a surprise. However, she was waiting for a pop and she didn't get it tonight. She got a couple of Becky chants and then she paused and then kept talking. So they don't know what to make of her because she's still coming off as a heel.
We'll see where that goes. We don't know where it's going to go. That's the other thing, right? Because, again, she took neutral corner. She could have helped Stephanie against them. Nope. So maybe she is. And, again, I think we're starting to see this now more, too, where they're blurring heels and faces a little bit more to be able to play both sides. So
I have no problem with any of that. Oh, this match. Hey. Yeah.
Hey, well. Progress the story, that's for sure. You know,
it did something interesting. It's putting Solo Sikoa over, and he's connecting with the fans organically. So we'll see where they take it.
Sure. Yeah, well, they also put up tonight confrontation between Roman and LA. We also got Jacob Fatu just beating the holy hell out of Royce as well. So
woo!
They're doing something.
Royce Keys coughing up blood. Royce Keys had like a bucket of blood splattering out of his mouth. The fucking hip attack with the chair. They're really selling it, but when you do that, you got to be careful because you might run the risk of knocking Royce Keys to a place where he doesn't come back from.
That's a risk. I mean, these guys do it as safe as possible.
No, I'm not saying physically. I'm saying to a point where he looks squishy.
Oh, no.
You know, that's right now he's in a place where he looks good, but you had to make Jacob Fatu look better. And, you know, they didn't give Jacob didn't eat the pin on SummerSlam. That was perfect. And that keeps Jacob clean. And Roman Reigns with the nod of approval at the end. Now we've got some wind beneath the wings of the two most important members of the bloodline and allows you to give some separation between the two of them and the Usos.
Yeah, and we're also going to find out what Ray's proposal was to Roman for AAA, because that's how they ended the show. A very ominous, hey, you know, I'm the general manager of AAA now. Roman, I do now. And got to talk to you. I got a proposal. All right.
So, I would get the belt off Dom, if it isn't already, the AAA belt.
It's not.
Have Roman walk around with a lot of gold for a minute.
Yeah. No, you don't take it off. You don't take that off of Dom, dude. Dom's making a fucking killing over there.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's see what they do next. He looks good, our national treasure.
Did you just pop a boner?
No, there. But other guys on SummerSlam were popping boners left and right. By the way, I gave you one picture, but CM Punk too. CM Punk, Jesus Christ, you couldn't avoid it. It was there. It was CM and his little Punk.
Yeah, well, you know, sometimes you just got to gimmick your trunks. You know, that's something. And of course, he tried valiantly, but had to go to sleep so he could go back to work.
You got choked the fuck out.
Yeah, and then we got to see him get the love from the crowd and his wife and their really awkward-looking kid.
Sometimes, you know what, a handsome guy and a beautiful woman, sometimes the results aren't always good.
One day.
Two evens don't make an odd. Or at least I should say two evens made an odd.
Yes, apparently so. Overall, was it the right thing?
He got his moment in the sun. He doesn't want to go full time, put himself through physical risk. He gets to have the benefit of looking like a brick shit house in the ring, having the great physique, and he got choked at it. It wasn't like he got beat to death. But those fucking chops that he took, those brought him back to he got chopped out of the ring onto the floor. That was no joke.
He
was not expecting how hard Gunther was going to chop, but he was the best physical looking specimen the entire weekend. He had the physique, the best physique of any of the contestants over the entire 2-day show. Huh. And that's saying something, but that's also showing what happens when you preserve yourself.
All right. I'll take your word for it.
I mean, but yeah, it's you know, good on him. He got his moment to perform on WWE, and now he can sit back and just bang Mickey James if he hasn't been already.
Or maybe do something for the kid. You know,
I mean, Chad Gable brought his kid in out in the ring. That kid was actually kind of stacked for like a fucking 10-year-old. The kid had like some muscles going on. That other kid, I don't know. He looks like a data analyst.
Yeah. So what do we think? You know, Aldis got his match. Does Adam Pearce get his match?
He already had a match. They already put him in matches in the past where they had him in fucking a onesie and they had him in freaking, you know.
He didn't get his moment. His real moment.
Yeah, but the other thing is, he is not in fighting shape anymore. Aldis looked like Magnus. This guy looks like Magnus's dad after about 10 beers.
Yeah, so?
I don't think he's going to want it. And again, Adam Pearce has been in the ring for WWE on a few occasions, wearing jumpsuits and singlets and the headgear and looking like a goofball. And in real life, I mean, he's a big, imposing dude. But, I mean, there's no scenario. He never had a career by which to retire.
He's a former NWA champion.
Yeah, I mean, a long time ago, like a decade ago, right?
So was Aldis.
Yeah, but Aldis was more recent than that. Aldis was more recent than that and held the belt for 3 years.
Aldis is back in 2019, dude.
Okay, that's within 10 years.
Yeah.
That's even less of a time than I gave. But I think Aldis, you know, Pearce has already done it, and I don't see him going for it. I mean, they gave it to Michael Cole once already. I just don't see it.
All right. Oh, this was such a sweet moment. And Nikki's face says it all. That was just wonderful. Oh, it was beautiful. It was beautiful. And just reigning over Paige. And then, of course, Brie Bella was taken to hospital after a match. So it is a broken scapula.
The whole point was the two of them are going to wrestle and get rid of Paige. If they had not done the screw over Paige job, Paige could have just. You can't make this shit up. Yeah. All right.
No, you just, but you now you have Nikki and Paige. Which Nikki, you know, Nikki's more of a commodity than Brie anyway. So
you're going to have Nikki versus Paige now, have them beef. I don't know. This shit happens. It's just dumb luck. But it also reflects, you could argue that it reflects the age of the wrestlers and that the new guard.
Not this.
Why they're there.
No, not this. This was JC just fucking going too hard into that fucking thing. And just, she hit up. And you just see that shoulder just go right into it. It was bad. It was bad.
Yeah, well, you know.
It was an accident.
It was an accident. You can't say shit because they've had Nia Jax and she's the botch queen. And they put up with her for years. So just let this one be.
Yeah, it's not really a botch. It just, you know, you're taking a risk when you're doing spots like that. That's all.
Yeah, yeah.
It's not like she put her up and then just dropped her or anything, like, you know, just you're going against the steps and she just fucking got hit hard on that.
I would have JC just go out there and brag about it.
Sure.
I'd have her go out there and brag about it, own it, put herself over off that, try to get some points off that, because I don't see her gaining too much off this triple threat. Or I should say 3-3. Sorry. But I don't know. I don't see anything. They lost, and it puts her a little bit further back. I don't know where they go with the six of them. But we'll see.
And then there was this beauty of a mask. And, of course, Randy out of nowhere with the beautiful Popeye wink. And CM Punk coming out, winning. All right, what are your thoughts on it?
The match was very good. I do want to, you know, go to my notes on that one because there was so freaking much to take from that. Cody was very, very agile. He was doing these middle to, you know, top, you know, rope jumps for the Cody Cutter. The figure four with the Anaconda Vice. The CM Punk attempting a moonsault was just so silly. It was the most ridiculous thing I'd ever seen. And that's when he was smiling there. He was smiling because he attempted a moonsault and missed. He was laughing at his own attempt. The RKO. All right, so good. We don't need to have Randy, we don't need to have Cody Rhodes jumping right back into a belt scene. Will give him some time. This was smart.
Yeah.
And you get those elements of veteran fighters, the student and mentor dynamic. It does well. It gives CM Punk the ability to chase after new people, or have new people chase after him, I should say. Back to what Damian Priest was talking about. We're sick of the same six people. This is good. This is all around good. And it takes some of it off of Cody, because Cody then doesn't lose cleanly. He gets screwed over. So it's a little less, you know, tarnish on him. Wonderful. And it builds another storyline. It builds another mini story. So perfect.
Yeah, of course. Brian Alvarez hated it. Thought it was one of the worst matches he's ever seen. Neither guy was in it. They looked like they were just going through the motions. That's what that idiot had to say. Yeah.
Are you fucking kidding me? I mean, look, they didn't look tired. Remember, I complained about CM Punk versus Roman Reigns because CM Punk looked out of it. CM Punk looked scrappy. He looked like he was barely surviving the match, and that Roman had reserves for days. This was even Stevens of people fighting at a very high level. And I say that because CM Punk has a physique now that represents the place and stature he has in the company. And the only thing he did was a sloppy moonsault, but he laughed about it, and that was fine. I had no problem with the multiple go to sleeps. The fact that they were even Stevens, they were working on Cody Rhodes' left arm, CM Punk's left leg. They dramatized the shit out of the injuries. Yeah. They worked those injuries throughout the story. They made a story within the wrestling match itself. And I've seen matches where they forget which leg is supposed to be the injured one, and they step on the one that was supposed to be getting worked on. No, they stayed focused. They kept up the kayfabe. They stayed within the story where they were building. And it was good.
Yeah. I'm sure if the banner said AEW, they were still both in AEW, Brian would have been like, that was one of the best matches I've ever seen. So, yeah.
What's going to happen is it's going to get more polarizing, especially with the WWE takeover of WrestleTalk on Sirius. You're going to get more polarizing people because they're going to go, wait a minute now. I'm probably going to get my own cottage industry if I just root completely against the WWE. I'll pull off all of those people that peeled off of all of the other shows that now are all WWE only.
It's already there.
To justify and legitimize being that much more tribalistic. Because now you can say,
it's always been there. It's always been there. And it's been there because Dave is getting some kind of cut. There's no doubt. But you should want this because of the fact that you're going, there is no. And people were pissed that, Bubba Ray just company line. Well, you know what? Then let it have it represent the company. All right. And if you don't like that shit, A, don't listen. And B, there will be an AEW fucking network within months. There's no way that Tony Khan doesn't start one up.
He already said he's looking into it. He's already going to do it. That's fine. I'll say this and I'll leave it at that. I think with the purpose of Dave LaGreca trying to be the voice of all wrestling, that's kind of the way he's framed himself. He's losing a lot of support. And now all of a sudden, on my timeline and many social medias, all of these busted open and WWE, you know, commercials and ads, and it's 100% negative responses. And it looks desperate. And all of the commercials feature Dave LaGreca screaming into the microphone that nothing has changed. And that's the problem. He cannot claim that when I want to see. I'm okay that they did nothing but SummerSlam this week. Duh. I want to see in 2 weeks or so when we get to AEW All In. Is he going to be a church mouse about it?
If okay.
He
is, so he's
buried.
Yeah, but here's the problem. Give you the honest answer. They cover AEW. What's going to happen?
Oh, he'll probably be bounced by WWE.
No.
What?
The minute he says anything, and I'm not talking about, I'm talking about somebody even absolutely 100% in your face, this is true, negative about AEW, everyone will go ape shit that all they're doing is trying to bury AEW.
So no, therefore, I don't even think that. I want to see him just go, hey, we saw SummerSlam. Now it's All In. We're going to talk about the storylines leading up to that. If he does not do that, or if they tell him behind the scenes, you can't do that, he is done.
But that's the problem. The problem is, if you want to talk about the storylines, and at the minute you say, I don't think that so-and-so's storyline is working, oh my God.
But no, Matt, you're missing my point. I don't even mind if he does that. If he speaks negatively of an AEW product
you
at all.
You don't mind. You
I
don't
know,
mind.
I know. But
that's the thing. You don't.
The feel is this. This is why people are canceling series. Those who I happen to be fortunate if I bought it full price, $500 20 years ago plus when it was just coming out. I have Lifetime. For those people who bought it, those insane people who got it just for the one thing and are canceling their, you know, series for this, if he does not address AEW at all in these coming weeks and it goes radio silence on AEW, because I haven't heard anything about AEW at all.
That's what I'm saying.
I even tuned in and I heard just a boring canned Undertaker interview where there would have been otherwise live radio coverage about anything. If they don't do any AEW coverage, he is going to be done within the year.
They are WWE radio.
Oh, I know.
So,
but the point is, he framed himself as this kind of figure for all of pro wrestling, the ultimate fans fan. I know all the venues. I know all the genre. I know all of right. the indies and this and that. And then you go, oh, I'm only WWE now, but I'm going to bring the same even-sided criticism. No, you're done. You can't go back to that well. And
the problem is, though, that this didn't start with WWE. He's been doing this with TNA for years ago. You know, he's been doing this. He's had a relationship with TNA for the past seven years.
When the last time Bully Ray and Tommy Dreamer were feuding in TNA about five seasons ago, he was the moderator, and he was trying to conduct the interviews between them. I know that he's been a fixture on TNA. They show him about once a year. He'll come out there. You'll see the Dave LaGreca, you know, billboards and signs, and you know, and you know, the fan head, the big fat heads. Look, it's all fine. The end of the day, if we get closer to All In, and there is no AEW discourse, pro or negative, he is fucked. He's going to lose so much of his fan base. He'll take the checks WWE TKO has given him. He'll pat himself dry.
That's the thing. What is the fan base? That's what I'm saying. The fan base are the people who want to just piss on it anyway.
I disagree. Right? It's not about the wrestling fan base. It is about the Dave LaGreca fan base. You know, there's lots of different wrestling programs. There are. We have a program, and one time Daryl said, you do know that we have a show and that we're on it right now. And I went, yes. But unfortunately and realistically, that guy's more famous than us. There's other guys like Simon Miller out in England. And the moment you go, oh, well, I'm only going to be paid by Tony Khan, you're going to go, oh, my God, it's fucking awful. You just said it a moment ago with the other writer where he panned a pretty obviously good CM Punk. And Cody Rhodes mentioned, went, wow, Dave Alvarez is basically a mark for AEW. He's going to pan everything WWE. I didn't even think to bring that one up. You did.
It's well, that's Brian, but that's Brian Alvarez. Brian Alvarez is part of Dave Meltzer. He's his fucking nephew.
Yeah, no, I know. I know. But what I'm saying is you have a feeling about them. Yeah, and you have a feeling about them, and your reaction is a gut reaction based on their track record.
Because they're journalists, quote unquote.
But
Dave LaGreca has never been claimed to be a journalist.
No, but Dave LaGreca has always tried to paint himself as an even-sided fan of pro wrestling. And if you're going to try to go to this kind of mindset that there is no pro wrestling out of the WWE, LaGreca's legitimacy is done. The other ones, the Not Sam Wrestling and all those other guys, fine. Well, it matters. It should matter for him. I would be a little embarrassed if I were him right now, because eventually it's going to get to a point where people are going to stop watching or listening. WWE is probably going to end up dropping. And that's what people are saying online. They're going, you know what? And about a year from now, he's probably going to get kicked off his own show. And that could very well happen.
So be it. But the money that is made, that's the thing. That's the thing. You have to look at it.
I get it, but WWE took it to destroy it. They took it to destroy it. They took it to destroy.
So what?
Fine, but
so what?
You know what it is? Yeah. You know what the best equated to? Every Tuesday, we usually do a show on Tuesday. And we go to, and afterwards I go to a comedy show, the Spotlight at Ola Abebe. Now Ola Abebe in Las Vegas is going to be a parking lot. And everyone screamed and yelled about it. And someone said, hey, look, Rob, a parking lot makes more money than a bar because there's no overhead. It's just painted lines and a meter. And I'm like, yeah, a parking lot for what purpose? What is it there for?
But you're talking inanimacy versus talking a public space in a building.
When you don't have anything but one, you only acknowledge one brand out of the sea, then that's the same thing.
But Rob,
you've inanimated everything else.
But Rob, if some entity, producer, director, whatever, comes up to you and goes, I love what you're doing. I want your Trump. You're going to make fucking a lot of money. We're going to pocket it now. You're going to have a fucking huge fucking following. That's it. But the only thing you can ever do again is that character for the rest of
you. Well,
you're going to have to make a choice.
Well, now here's the thing. Realistically, in comedy right now, for the longest, I was learning. Nobody booked me. I came up with this version of Donald Trump and this type of character. Everyone booked me. And then you know what they say? And invariably, they went, oh, we don't want you anymore because that's all you do. I was listening to an old Howard Stern episode where they were discussing Pee Wee Herman. And him and Robin go, oh, we've only seen the first half of the Pee Wee Herman documentary, but he must have been depressed and miserable only getting to be Pee Wee Herman. And I went, well, the second half features you in it, jackass. And also, the guy was in a lot of other movies, a lot of other things, but he chose to go back to that. He chose to do that for himself. LaGreca chose to be a wrestling guy, not a WWE guy. They dumped money in his lap to shut him the fuck up.
That's the thing.
And how long would that money last?
But hey, man, but when you've done this for as long as he has, and finally you get the cash day, you take the cash. That's it. Very simple.
Well, you know what it's like? This is like the old adage. All right, I'm going to give you $250,000 to sell out.
Yeah.
Well, how much money would you have made not selling out, doing what you were doing, staying on course, and keeping your program for another 10 or 15 years versus you might be gone 2 years from now, and now you can't rebuild your brand because your brand is interconnected with WWE. That is the crossroads. He might not cash out. He might get a short windfall. And then later on when he goes, oh shit, I want to go back out there and show people what I could do and be that voice, no one's going to want to fuck with him.
He might. He's 52 years old, man. At this point, you take the fucking money. And you know what? If you don't have a brand, you don't have a brand. But you know what you do have? You have fans who've listened to you either on your radio show or on the WWE's radio network. You sign at conventions. You start your own thing. It doesn't matter. At some point, you have to take that for your family and for your future.
He was on Sirius Satellite Radio. He started as a podcast just off his own website. He built up a brand. He did the right thing. The question is now for him, for value. Will there be a long-term game, and will he be a trusted member of the TKO brand for a time, or will he burn his fans off so badly that they won't want anything to do with them anymore? And TKO WWE says, well, thank you for your contributions, but we're bouncing you on your own show.
Remember,
he might screw himself.
But he's already got the That's the thing. He's already got the money.
Do you think he has money to retire off of from this? Let's say they give him a 5-year contract or whatever it is. Do you think he's got enough where he could go, I could sit on my ass
for
the rest of my life?
Well, it's not a contract. Busted Open was the brand, right?
Yeah. So it's part of a network. It's one show of a few.
Right. So the fact of the matter is that whatever he's getting, it's an overhead on whatever it is. So in terms of retirement, probably better set him up. You know, again, 52. That's the thing.
People living a lot longer.
If he was Chris Van Vliet, maybe you got to question it. You know, Van Vliet sitting in the front row of fucking WWE.
Yeah, so, I know. And here's the thing. Some people might say by design, I'm deliberately not taking that front row opportunity because I don't want to look that biased. I don't want to look like I'm the Dave Meltzer of the other side. So I just want to say it's a gamble what he's doing, and he's getting a lot of heat. And this is not like kayfabe heat. He's getting a lot of heat. People are canceling. They're not tuning in. So there's three ways this could go, and I'll leave it at this. We can move on.
Yeah.
He's either going to swap the audience he had for WWE audience and everything stays hunky-dory, and he pisses off some people and gains new ones. Yay. People get pissed in the moment. They have their tantrum. They come back. Or B, he loses big time. He loses big time, and he doesn't have as much money as you thought. We won't know. Time will have to tell on that one.
Yeah, well, it doesn't matter because he's not a billionaire who's running a company. You know, this is a guy who has to make a choice. Again, sometimes you have to say, fuck these assholes on the internet. That's what it comes down to.
Well, you know, it is, but those assholes are the internet are your people that you built a brand off of. You built your brand off of that. That was your thing. I'm the indie voice. I'm the fan.
You're giving a bigger, broader sense of that audience than there is. You know what I'm saying? The honest truth is that the people who are canceling subscriptions, small amount. And they're the ones who are going to be vocal on the internet because they want to get the attention.
It's on my algorithms because I'm obviously a wrestling fan. When I see nothing but maybe one out of every 100 messages and be a thumbs up and the rest are fuck this guy, that's a problem. And also the fact that they even had to advertise at all that he's part of WWE, it should have just been taken for granted. The fact that they're advertising, it shows desperation. If you know something is successful and is going to get over without people don't advertise.
It's a change of brand. You have to advertise it.
Mandalorian movie and Grogu, they didn't advertise that shit at all. They just put it out there. They put a one Burger King commercial and that was it. They didn't have to. They knew people are going to go see this. This is polarizing. You just took a program that discusses WWE, AEW, MLW, New Japan Pro Wrestling, TNA, You know, GCW discusses all of them, puts all of those people out there from the bottom all the way up. And then you have Steve going, hey, Bully Ray's a mark for the company. He's only at Bleeds WWE. I don't like it. Well, he's a third of this program. He does not like Bully Ray as is. Now the entire thing is that.
Yeah.
That's what people are pissed at. They're like, whoa.
Oh, wow. But again, that's the other side of it. If your whole bias is fuck WWE, then why should anyone do anything?
No. I am a wrestling fan. When WWE was sucking in the mid-2000s and 2010s and on, I went over to TNA. I found programming that I liked. Other people went to other companies, and they found something they liked. And this guy built a brand discussing those things. And now he's not going to be. He looks like he sold out because he did.
He did. So what? Great. Again.
But then, hey, whoa, wait a minute. I kept my series because I like the music. I kept my series because I like Howard Stern and all the other programming. For those guys who wanted to be a part of what he was doing,
I'm telling you, those 10 people are mad.
And I'm
many people just canceling their series just because of that show. That show would have been way more successful, way more popular, made way more money
the case was when Busted Open began, it was on Fight Network, which incorporated UFC. UFC was bounced off of it and it became nothing but WrestleTalk, and now WrestleTalk got absorbed into WWE. So obviously it was successful enough by which WWE saw this as something worth purchasing. However, they did. I'm saying, and I'm going to keep fighting on this hill, this guy's credibility is shot to fuck. And he's gonna have to answer for that. And you cannot screen. Eventually, you're going to screen out a good bulk of your callers when they go, man, fuck you, LaGreca. You know, it's one thing for Bully. I listened to Tommy Dreamer. Because now Tommy Dreamer is doing the Busted Open After Dark for Raw. And I listened to it, and he's listless. He's just sitting there verbatim reading back what he saw, and nobody's calling in. Nobody gave a shit about what he had to say. And now they've got entire swaths of programming just, you know, dedicated to canned interviews from the past. And
but it's again, boring. That's their network. They're figuring out what they're going to fucking do. This is what they did. They purchased a network. That's it. It's boring. Then you know what? Someone else fucking starts the next thing. That's all. They got the money.
It's like I said, you know, same thing. Down the street on Main Street when they tore down a comedy club, the one in the opening segment that I'm walking out of, they replaced it with 4 parking spots. And I went, wow, you went out of your way to tear down a source of income for 4 fucking parking spots. You shit on a good wrestling network. And I'm going to give credit where credit's due now. What the WWE network does bring that I like is the live telecasts of Raw, SmackDown, and the PLEs, which in certain circumstances is convenient. So I do appreciate that. However, I'm going to withhold any further judgment until I see if he discusses the upcoming road to All In. If they abandon All In and they try to treat it like
I'm telling you, if they start talking about it, it is going to be
What if he's positive about it? What if he's positive about All In? What if he goes, wow, this is one of Tony Khan's greatest productions? What if
It's not what if he's positive. It's the minute something is said that is truthfully honest, that is negative, that becomes the spark.
I'm going to use your logic. I don't think it's going to be that bad. He's criticized it before. There's nothing wrong with criticizing it.
No, wait. But remember, you said it, right? Before, he wasn't working for WWE.
I know what you're saying.
Now he's part of the enemy.
I get that. What I'm saying is, if they go down the route where they try to ignore it, like AEW doesn't exist, Dave LaGreca personally, as a broadcaster, is fucked. I don't get, and you know what? There is a point where you will go, you know what? I'm glad I have the money, but I also want to have the credit, and I'm not going to get that. And people mind that. People do mind that. You go, wait a minute. I'm a legitimate wrestling broadcaster. I've been covering wrestling for over a decade. I've been doing Busted Open for 50 years, and I'm getting shit on by the fans. Why? You really have to wonder why? I'm telling you that's coming if they don't do any broadcasting about AEW, GCW, MLW. If they don't cover those things,
I'm telling you, if they start doing that, WWE's lost their mind. Because
I don't disagree with you. But this is where he is in a rock and a hard place now. And the fact that they're putting him out there on social media, cutting commercials where he's saying it's just like it was before. Anytime you have to do an advertisement when you're saying something is just like it was before, is pretty bad. I remember the guy who ran the FCC, Trump's first time around, was an Indian guy named Ajit Pai. And they did this thing where they picked and chose winners on the internet by which to delegate bandwidth to. I forgot what they called it. It was something about metering, internet metering. And right. Everyone said this was wildly unpopular. How dare you put the thumb on the scales of select websites? You're going to wipe out a lot of people who are building industries online. And he came out and he did a commercial where he had an oversized Reese's mug. And he goes, the internet hasn't changed. It's just like it was before. And he got panned for it. This is that same cringiness. Watching him scream into a microphone going, everything is the same, is cringy. You know it's cringy.
Well, but I don't care. That's the thing. You're all invested in this stuff. I don't care. I think that this guy is getting his money. Awesome. That's fucking
Hey, that's fucking a lovely. And it's like, you know what? It's like Alex Jones right now fighting to hold on to InfoWars, which he lost to The Onion. Yeah, but your whole brand was wrapped up in that. Now that it's under WWE, if he pisses off his fans and they abandon him, WWE kicks him off his own show. That's terrible. You got to be embarrassed. You got to be like, what the fuck? I should not have gone. I should not have let them fuck me up the ass like this. He can end up
unless my bank account says otherwise. There you go.
Hey, I disagree. If that bank account runs out next year, fucked
up the ass.
If that bank account runs out next year, he'll wish he didn't sign those down that dotted line. I'll take my
and if that bank account doesn't get him into retirement and into what, you know, the deal should have been to get you to do what you're doing now, then that's bad for him. But if you make the choice, I got a feeling that he's okay. And that's why you go with it.
We don't know yet. We don't know. Well, we'll find out. We'll find out.
Well, we found out about these two bohemians.
Meat. Holy fuck. Slapping meat.
Jesus. You know, Brock and Brock, this was great. Oba said his public endorsement from Brock was definitely a swerve. You could see him just trying to get out of the ring because he's given Brock that moment. And he fucking was taken by surprise, like, holy shit. Like,
what
seriously?
Was he wearing tonight? He was dressed up in like some religious looking garb, Oba Femi.
Well, it was his baptism. He got baptized into, you know, this new, you know, it was cathartic baptism by Brock into
very New Day-esque when they first came out. I liked his. I like Oba Femi's promos. I like that they are insinuating that that Paul Heyman's going to be in Oba Femi's corner. It's not there yet. The Vision arguing, you know, where Austin Theory's going to Paul Heyman. Oh, I thought you were. Not Austin Theory, but Bron Breakker going. Oh, I thought you were back in Oba Femi now. This is very interesting. There's a wide open lanes of stories to be told here. I like this. Oba Femi has nothing but, you know, nowhere to go but up right now. Beautiful. And his promos are good, but he does not like that fucking walk. He does not like that hokey shit. You can tell he doesn't want to do it already. When he first came out from NXT over, he was coming out there and he was bouncing around with a big shit-eating grin on his face. Now he does it for about like four paces, and he's like, I'm done with this. He wants to get out of that so badly and move on to something more legitimate and less demeaning. That's the way I feel.
He's grown. I mean, that's it. It's growing. It's changing of the character.
Good.
Brock giving him a tombstone on the boards and then watching the replay and going, oh, fuck, Brock had no knee pads on. So when he hits those boards, I was like, Jesus Christ. You could see it on his face, too. He's just like, that fucking lost a hurt. But Brock going into the Minnesota Gophers Hall of Fame. So
beautiful picture, too.
Yeah. I mean, so, you know, one career comes to an end. The other is, you know,
I think I'm the past and you're the future. Beautiful.
Yeah.
Perfect.
Yep. All right. Night two. Here we go. Gunther working double time. I wonder, because it seems like Kevin didn't get that neck clearance until like right around then. I wonder if Gunther knew that he was going to be doing double duty, or if they came to him after the Aldis match and said, hey, listen, we need a fourth to kind of, you know, alleviate Kevin having to do a lot more in that match. So
Kevin jumped out right out of the gate with two cannonballs.
Yeah.
One to Zane, one to, it was fucking Zane. That was brilliant. Cause where do you go now?
I want to make this on canvas and hang it up, because that is an art picture right there.
Yeah, oh my god, he looks like Van Gogh.
Yeah, and then you know you got the hug and everything, and then some of the best shit too were the fans.
Well, now I want to specify those pictures. Those pictures of the fans were actually just not even for the hug. They were hugging. They were crying because Kevin Owens came back.
Yeah.
It was just exactly. For Kevin Owens. Somebody's hugging. Who gives a fuck about Sami Zayn? But now Sami Zayn, further down.
Hey.
And that's okay.
But, you know.
And that's... by the way, Sami Zayn subscribes to your just take the money and run with it and take what they give you. Zayn has been doing that. And Zayn is an example of it working.
Kevin's another one, dude. They tell him, do this, do that, do that.
Yep.
He does it. And, you know, and that's – and Balor's the same way. Like, all those guys from that time period, all those guys have been making just tons of fucking money by going, I might be better than this. I might be a little less than this now because of my age. Whatever. What am I doing? Okay, great. The Miz is the greatest example.
Yes. Yeah. But the Miz was a Grand Slam champion. Owens deserves a few more title shots, but he's been dealing with injury. And Zayn is, I've got no love for the guy. You cannot be this obnoxious, mealy mouth guy.
You fucking hate redheaded kids, man.
He would be that gingered stepchild. I'd beat his soulless ass until he bled right into his scalp. Look, in reality, he easily kicked shit out of me. But when it came to those three guys, they did deserve more, and there were far too many times where they played it safe with the same fucking six people, as you know, as Damian Priest said. And this is what WWE does. They're going, you know, we're so big that you'll eat whatever we feed you, and sometimes it doesn't work.
But you also this is the other point that gets forgotten. We'll talk about it in 1 second. I'll get back to it in a second. This was great though. In the post, Kevin saying he got inspired about Rebel, battling the ALS. That was just a great moment in the post. Also TNA, ran about a 3 to 5 minute segment as well, for her. So, she got, you know, mentions on both shows this week. So that's great. Kevin is now your number one contender, obviously, for CM Punk, which is beautiful. History there. Wonderful. This was wonderful to see.
Nice.
Yeah. To see Corbin winning the title, that was just fucking beautiful. You know, again, you come in and you would expect that he would lose the trick. And it was like, nope. Nope, we're gonna give him that moment.
He took the kendo stick from Little Yachty. He bounces. He shoulder tackles my man right into Little Yachty, and Yachty goes not clean through the table. He hits the table. He hits the table, but he catches it on the diagonal. But Yachty's out. Trick Williams loses. It was fucking great. End of days. Yeah. I like it, and the guy needed it, but. He needs to realize they put the rocket on him. He's responsible for fueling that rocket. He better not blow this opportunity and be a cornball like he was. Right now, he's doing the right thing the right way.
It's not he needs to not be a cornball. They need not to
write him that way.
Yeah, give him the character that way. And I think they're fine on that. Ladder match, man, they did some very inventive spots. This was fucking cool with Charlotte and then pulling her down by the legs. That was pretty sweet.
That was funny because I saw something was up, and again, Jade Cargill. Charlotte could have grabbed that belt. She had a good about 3 to 5 seconds where she's up at the top of that ladder alone, and she's struggling, and I'm like, I wonder who's late. Well, what do you know? It's Jade.
So wait, are you saying Jade and Lash were late because they were on a certain standard time?
No, we're not doing that.
Jesus, Rob, that's so fucked up, dude.
Jesus Christ. They were on CW time. You know what CW time is, right? The views expressed by this program are not represented by the NAACP. I just watched it. I'm like, you do realize that Charlotte had an easy pathway because she shot up the ladder. Usually, if they know that they're going to get taken off the ladder, they do that bullshit where they struggle to get up the ladder. Charlotte shot up the ladder, held onto the belt, and then went, oh, my hands.
Yeah, she couldn't get it unbuckled. Yep.
Oh, they're like jello. And then I'm like, all right, there we go, finally. I do like Jade Cargill and the baddies dressing up like Prince.
Oh, yeah. It was nice. That was fucking awesome.
She had the little ascot on.
That
was a good spot.
The Lash powerbomb hit Tiffany on that fucking ladder. Holy shit. That was beautiful.
Ooh, that was good. And this isn't like California Pro Wrestling where you ever see that. That's a local promotion. Those ladders are rubber. And you could see when they climb up the ladders, they bend.
Yeah. that was wonderful. And then, of course, we got Chelsea grabbing that belt, finally getting to have a smooch with Matt afterwards. And, of course, getting the picture with Triple H.
And, by the way, Triple H with hair. This is good. Let this be a thing. Let this be a thing again.
I guess he went to Cena's guy. So.
He had to get the permission from Sean first. Hey, Sean, I want to do, I want to have hair again. And I was waiting for you to give me the okay. Yeah, just go do it. I don't care. Grow it out. Get the injections. We need the injections, Mike.
No. I don't want her.
There's a little something there. Just,
All right. Yikes. You look like the sixth hole on a fucking on a miniature golf course that
all right, never mind. Next.
Jesus.
Scoop is not entertained.
Chelsea winning, it's funny. I did see some people trying to stir the pot and say stuff like, well, Jade should have won like that. And it's like, it's just so funny. Like, you could tell the people who are just trying to, you know.
When Chelsea got up the ladder in the latter third of the match, the crowd went nuts. When they stomped her out, I'm like, all right, she's dangling there. Wait a minute there. And then when she gets up like the Undertaker, I went, oh, yes. Now, mind you, they're putting an asterisk on this one. She's the interim champion, so she will have an asterisk on this title run unless she finds a way to beat Rhea Ripley and retain it. Now, if she does that by some chicanery, heel turn, whatever, she needs to be the champion without any asterisk, without any interim nonsense. Give her a custom belt. Give her the whole nine yards. She is too entertaining, and she's good in the ring. The idea that she's some goofball, she does too many good moves and combinations accidentally, which is what she always has that look on her face like it's accidental. And she's really fucking talented as a professional wrestler and on the mic and as a persona. She ticks all the boxes consistently over the years.
Yeah, no, I agree. And Chelsea, you know, when she was in TNA, she was taking fucking chairs to the face and shit. So, you know,
Laurel Van Ness was in a wedding gimmick, and she was a nut job. Fucking brilliant.
Yeah. Yeah. Speaking of fucking brilliant, Cursed. Gotta love it. Money's on the full. You know, just a brilliant thing. Shout out the Micromania people, and El Torito getting a.
And they called him. They called him Torito this time.
Yeah,
Torito Hausen.
Torito Hausen. That was fucking great.
What did you call him, Cole? Torito Hausen. It sounds familiar.
And the money's.
Yeah, and some of that was real money. There were dollars mixed with.
There were dollars. Yeah, yeah. I mean, that kid got a dollar. And Triple H said he heard that there was a $1 trillion bill in there. So he's not sure if that was. Legal or not, and it might be you could possibly turn it in for Danhausen merch or something, but he didn't know. It was great. It was fucking funny sitting in the post interview with him really quick. But one of the coolest things about Danhausen was stuff like this. Thank you to all the Danhausen friends who helped give ice creams to the children of Boys and Girls Club of Twin Cities. Also pictured Garrison Walter from NXT Australia. Grayson Waller showed up on NXT this week and did a fucking phenomenal job, by the way.
That promo he cut there too was great.
Amazing. It's fucking great. Yeah, it's like finally we're back to what's happened to him. But to have him, and you can't really see it in this picture, Rob, but he is just stone faced looking. Yeah. He's got a hat on and he looks like he just does not want to fucking be there. So he's still in character from Tuesday night when they did this on Thursday of him being forced to do this shit. Brilliant.
By the way, that doesn't even look like Danhausen on the bus. It looks like Groucho Marx with the swept back hair and the over the top eyebrows. It looks like Groucho Marx.
Yeah. If you put a fucking mustache, a grease mustache behind it. Yeah.
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 Yeah. We're going to give money to the kids.
Groucho Hausen. But it's great, man. They, you know, so one of the biggest things when you said, you know, you're talking about a big problem that I saw a number of people have is that people just are just, it's overexposed. It's overexposed. Oh, blah, 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 blah. Oh, these comedy matches. Oh, blah, blah, blah.
Look, Danhausen is riding high off the Knicks fame. A lot of stuff happened organically. God bless it. Give him a belt down the road of some sort of goofy belt. Bring back a 24/7 belt or just make something for him.
Make his own belt
for a couple of years. Yeah, whatever.
But it's legitimately, it's people just are pissed off that they have to see Danhausen everywhere. And it's like, you're fucking insane. All right. Then this happened, of course, Chad Gable, Penta giving him the belt and everything. That was just fucking wonderful and classy. So good. There he is crying.
Oh, God. Yeah.
He still had the gash.
He's been doing this for 10 years. He actually came out in 2013 with Jordan. I can't remember the guy's other
dude. Yep.
And they were a tag team, and they were modeled after Kurt Angle. And they were Olympians, and he had the long hair and the big-ass forehead. And he goes, you stuck by through me with everything, even when I was Shorty G. And by the way, the fucking guy is our height. So,
yeah.
He's like 5'8", I'm 5'7". I wish I could look like that.
Yeah.
It would take a shit ton of work. But he deserved that belt a long time ago. I would have given him the U.S. belt first because it would have made more sense for him to have the U.S. belt with the whole American, you know, persona that he's
done. But think, why did he get Intercontinental? Is because of the Mexico stuff. So it's Intercontinent.
So he could go to other places. Yeah, good.
Well, I mean, it's just, you know, it's just,
yeah.
And I think the other thing too, is I think they wanted to get away from the, you know, again, you've got him, like someone said, you know, by time, he's like, he should get main event. He's just like Kurt Angle, blah, blah, blah. And he's not. You can't continue to push the American shit because of the Kurt Angle stuff. He's got to be his own thing. And I think this works perfectly. So, Seth coming out, great gear. I thought this was the video game because it looked so much like the fucking video. I thought Roman decided not to walk to the ring anymore. And just
because when Seth came out, he came out in the Shield gear, and they shot it from a great distance, and it looks like Seth was going to screw with Roman Reigns and come out dressed up as a Shield. And then they shoot the fire up, and Seth walks out like that. The way they did it was so good, I thought that it really was Seth Rollins at first. Underneath that ridiculous flamenco costume, like he's a Curacao actor or some shit from Brazil, he had the white version of his gear from, you know, the days in the Shield. He hands it over to Roman Reigns. Complete smug prick the whole time. Roman Reigns stone face on it. Now, you know, and I talked about this with Steve last week, I'm very particular about ring attire. He was wearing white, usually signifies you're going to win, but Roman was wearing gold. And I took that to mean, Roman's got this one.
Well, and
Roman gets more leverage and leeway in storyline. And it forces Seth Rollins to create a new character, which Seth Rollins hasn't.
It was even said that the gear was representative of him moving forward. You know, it's he's turned a page. So it's good stuff.
Roman's crying.
Crying with his belt. And then, of course, daytime lovers, nighttime friends. No, daytime friends, nighttime lovers. Some other things that happened. Haku is now with Tala and Tama Tonga, which is a great move. I don't know why they didn't fucking do that earlier. The Super Troopers were backstage getting ready for Super Troopers 3 here coming out this weekend. And
they were in costume on they were in costume
Sunday. Yeah. Kathy Kelly, looking Kathy Kelly as Trish Stratus.
Oof. Oh my God.
And Izzy Dane. Oh, some good stuff there. And then the IWC reacting to SummerSlam.
I didn't think it was, look, here's my thing. Did I think SummerSlam was good? It did what it had to do. I give it an A-, B+, around there. It wasn't the greatest one ever, but the matches all served a purpose and did what they had to do, and they had the right results. Do I want to see Io Sky win again and have nowhere to really go for a few months? No. Now you get Becky Lynch. Now you get Stephanie Vaquer. If it was Io Sky, I'd be bored because it would have just not been a good way to do it. Chelsea Green winning, great. Obafemi winning, great. Randy going in there and fucking up with Cody. Great. Take some of the heat off Cody for eating a pin.
It's a reset. Beautiful. It's a reset. It's the year. Yeah, it's perfect to go for the rest of the year. Really quick, these guys showed up on Collision, and then when they walked out, where's the fans? They were trying to find the fans. I love the fact that the Motor City Machine Guns came out and were like, huh.
No, they got a bit of a pop. The first time they came out, though, they came out there very egotistical about 4 or 5 years ago, and they got no response, and they were shocked because, you know, Chris Sabin shot out of that, you know, shot down the ramp like, we're here, and nobody gave a fuck.
It wasn't the response. It was the fact that they looked around. They're like, oh, that's how many people are in the crowd?
Look, it's the best place for them to be. They've outgrown TNA, and WWE was too big for them. This is the best place for them to be. And they'll get lost in the sauce here and there. They will get the tag belts at some point, but probably a year down the road.
Yeah.
I usually pontificating for a while. So that one's to the point.
And then Thunder Rosa became the women's national champion at CMLL. So
beautiful.
Good for her. Maybe she'll show up since they're wrestling Mexico this week, but who knows? So
She should be getting some belts. As I find out, she has more time on her hands now.
Yeah. Well, she's had all the time in the world. It's just that Tony forgets that he employs her sometimes. So go figure. And then on TNA, they had this happen. The woman is an actress in the upcoming Walking Dead show on AMC. And she was next to this kid, or gentleman, I guess, at this point, who was wearing a Titty Inspector t-shirt. So, good work, TNA. And nothing better than wearing a TNA shirt to a TNA show. Let's see, a couple of quick things right here. Mandy Rose welcomes her first child. So great to see. It's my first time being a father as well. All right. Okay. President, anything to say this week?
You know, you got to tell somebody when you're going to have the leader of the free world show up on your show. And by the way, when we do a show, I talk about AEW. We do AEW, we do WWE, we do GCW, OVW, NWA. You know, we like NWA. You know what that stands for, right? They cut some great albums, okay? Ice Cube and Dr. Dre.
Yeah, but they were late getting to the ladder spot.
That's what happened, and that's why little Kamala is not the president, because she was late for her own debate. And we can't have a person coming on CW time not showing up and hitting her spots, okay? Now, by the way, if I was in the ring with Jade Cargill, I'd hit her spot over and over, and I'd hit her spot billions and billions and billions and billions of times. I'd hit her spot so many times, she would go, thank you, Donald, for making my spot great again. Believe it.
Oh, boy.
She'd be screaming a lot more than, oh, boy. She'd be doing a lot more than screaming, oh, boy. Believe it, okay? She's going to have a beautiful 7-foot-tall, half-white child. I mean, what more could you want?
All right.
SummerSlam was pretty good. Could have been better. It wasn't as good as SummerSlam in 1993 when I fought Owen Hart and beat him like never before. We sent him all the way back to Canada. And little Canada, we sent him all the way back there. It was so bad that they're still doing a memorial service for how badly I beat him back in 1993 SummerSlam. They call I, you know, because I train every day at the Trump Dungeon. The Trump Dungeon. It's me and Don Jr. and what's that other one? Baron
Corbin.
Yeah, Baron Corbin Trump. We like Baron Corbin Trump. And, you know, he did good. He won the furry belt. That's the most hair he's had on his body in 5 years. You know that he's had, he's never had hair on his body. They gave him a hairy belt, you know. And we told him, you know, maybe you should get the, maybe you should get the Cena treatment. And what we'll do is we'll shave his ass and put it on his head. You know, fuck John Cena. You know, he wasn't good enough to be Captain America, so they made a superhero for him to be, okay? Nobody knows who Peacemaker is. Nobody knows who Peacemaker is. By the way, if you wanted to make Peacemaker, you should have been about me because I truly brought peace to the Middle East, and we're seeing gas prices lower than ever before seen. I mean, if you compare gas prices today to what they were going to be 20 years from now under Biden— this is spectacular. This is spectacular. Only $7 a gallon. You've never seen any prices this good before. I know. Biden's prices were laughable. They were laughable. He had gas at $17.99 a gallon. I've got it down to a respectable $5.49 at most pumps. So you're welcome. We've done tremendous work. We're going to be priest of the Middle East. We're going to be priest of wrestling, and we're going to be, in fact, we're going to have the Trump Invitational Belt, the Trump International Title. It's going to be called the Trump International Title or the tip belt.
Sounds good.
You don't want these tips. Well. So thank you very much. You're welcome. You know, you're very welcome. And bring back the Republican, okay? Bring back Steve. He's good people. He's very good people.
All right. Quick social media dump here as we get back into it. All right.
Let me talk to
a
you.
A little orange. My little orange shit likes to watch WWE Raw with me. I love the fact that cat watches. That is so cute. Can you guess who this babyface young wrestler is?
Oh, wait a minute. What the fuck? Wait, I'm going to take... Hold on. He's got... Wait. Hold on. Could that be Ric Flair?
No.
Because Ric Flair was a fat fuck when he first got out.
Yeah, no, it's not, you know, no, you know him as a real huge wrestler. He was a big dude.
Braun Strowman?
No. I used the term was. So he is no longer with us. He was a very prominent in the very late 80s through the 90s.
Big Boss Man?
No.
I'm out. I don't know.
It's John Tenta. It's the Earthquake.
Oh wow!
Yeah.
He looked like a rotunda. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you know who this is?
Could that be Ricky Steamboat?
No. Nope. He was known as a tag team wrestler in the WWE. Very popular tag team in the 80s.
I know the Midnight Express was popular.
No, this is WWE. WWE. The Midnight Express was not in WWE.
Yeah.
Oh, you probably don't recognize his face because of the tag team.
Junkyard Dogs.
Okay, first of all, I don't even know where to start with that.
Oh, no, that was, I don't know. I have no idea.
It's Smash from Demolition, Barry Darso. Repo Man and Smash. Yeah. There you go. And who's that?
I know. That's easy. That's got to be Mr. Poffo.
That is Mr. Poffo. Absolutely.
That is Macho Man Randy Savage Poffo, because I know he was in. He actually played for the Cardinals, if I'm not mistaken, briefly.
Well, the minor league system, yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, absolutely. So that's one of the earlier pictures of him there. Then, of course, we just lost Hogan 1 week ago. Last week was the one-year anniversary.
Yeah.
And we just celebrated Roddy Piper's passing here.
By the way, that movie meme, he's known more for that fucking movie he did with the sunglass meme than anything else.
Absolutely, man. Absolutely. And the quote, "I'm trying to find a place with peace. And if not, then let's fill it with mayhem." Of course.
No,
all right. So, Rob, fuck, marry, kill. Jake Roberts, JYD, Ultimate Warrior.
Oh, shit. God. Well, am I fucking or am I getting fucked?
You haven't sex with it, so yeah.
I'd have to kill anyone with a snake because that freaks me the fuck out. I don't want anything to do. Like, if I'm fucking this guy, he's going to bring a fucking python in bed. No. And if I'm married to him, he's going to, the thing's going to be all over the house. And I'm going to die in my sleep. I guess, yeah, we're fucking Ultimate Warrior. Why not?
And you're marrying DJ Impact?
Well, I he's already on the chain, so that's easy. I can just chain him up in the corner, and there you go.
All right, fuck, marry, kill. Piper, Flair, Dusty.
Oh, God. We got to kill Dusty. It's just nah, I can't. Now, who would I want to gay marry? I mean, I guess I'd have to... You know what? I'd have to marry Ric Flair so I could take all his money and fuck Piper.
There you go. And finally, fuck, marry, kill, Macho Man, Hogan, Andre.
I'd want to marry Andre. I think he'd be a good dude. You know, I'm thinking of him like Princess Bride. And sure. And I'd want to fuck Savage, because then as I'm fucking him, I'll just get, oh yeah. Oh, that beefy, spicy taste. I just snapped into your Slim Jim.
Oh, boy.
Fuck the pythons.
because he had pythons, and those are snakes. So
yeah. Of course. Those 24 pythons. But, you know,
it's funny because I was going through your Facebook profile.
Oh, no.
And what I didn't realize is that some of these people you've actually encountered in your life and hung out with, which I was quite impressed. That Hogan, Flair, and Savage and you used to hang out back in the day.
Yeah, you didn't know I had pink bell bottoms.
No, no, no. And some very defined arms at the time.
Oh, yeah. And I'm doing the Matt Jackson look.
Yeah.
And why does Hogan have bangs?
Well, I'm pretty sure you probably just did his hair. You know?
Yeah, well, let me tell you something, brother. It was soft and shiny.
Oh, yeah, well. There you go. All right, what are you up to? Where can people catch you?
All right, right after this, I'm going to be heading over to Backstop in Boulder City. There's a comedy show there tonight. We're here to support the headliner, respectfully himself, Mr. Respectfully Lex Las Vegas, greatest Las Vegas New Yorker, not counting myself, the true greatest Las Vegas New Yorker. And I will be headlining there next week at 10 o'clock to 11:30 will be the showtime. Boulder City, Backstop, look it up. I'll have the flyers up on Vegas Trump Guy, at Vegas Trump Guy. And also check out my new page, Rob Does America. We are just getting that page launched on Facebook. If you want a cameo, cameo.com/BOCE comedy, $25. I'll record whatever you want. Donald Trump, Barack Obama, hell, if you want me to be Cat Williams for your kids, done.
There you go. As Steve would say, thank you for joining us, everyone who turned in. Of course, thank you to all our troops, foreign and domestic, for doing what you do, and we appreciate it. And of course, REPPSports.com, use Vegas as the code to save 10% at checkout, and you can do all your workout needs.
Dude.
PP.
Did any of you have a great time tonight?
Yeah! With that, everybody, thank you for hanging out. We will we'll do it all again next week. Till then, happy wrestling.
Rolling up the strip under neon lights. Podcast mics glowing in the desert night. Matt and Michael's leading with the swagger tight. Sin City Steve right by his side. Alright. Rob Butcher, Larry dropping truths, no fear. Broadcasting stories, make it loud and clear. From the Fremont edges to the Bellagio sphere. These bad boys rule, let me make that clear. Vegas bad boys, tearing up the scene.
To Matt Michaels and the Vegas Boys of Podcasting, this is John Cena saying thank you so much.